All right, and we're recording. Cool. So, sup, nerds?
What?
Sup, nerds, and welcome to episode 14C of Powerful, a power metal podcast. I am the ZF who's losing his voice after 3 days of Prog Power.
You gotta be careful with that, man.
You gotta budget. I'm fine. This could be worse. And I am joined today by some of the usual suspects. We got Larry Biscuit.
What up?
We got Darko.
Hello.
We got Pizzor.
Hello.
We have Coil Domain.
Hi.
Ben is MIA, and we have Rose Selke today.
Hello.
I like how Jason Coil is on.
He's chilling.
Yeah, I'm chilling.
He's chilling. Anyway, so we got a lot of shit to talk about today. Today was a big day.
Today was a really big, long day.
Six warm-ups. We went from four bands to six.
It doesn't seem like that much of a change, but it's like
50% increase. That's a lot. Okay, so this is going to take a while. Let's just get into it. First band, who the fuck was Manimal?
Manimal. And we showed up wet.
Oh, yeah, it rained on us.
Yeah, it rained on us. So,
Manimal, solid, I would say.
I dug it.
It was fun.
It was very much fun.
Should have had a mosh pit.
It might have been too early. You got to warm up to that.
No,
we're American power metal fans. We don't mosh.
Usually. Yeah,
that would have been like the second best band to mosh today.
We'll see.
These
guys were interesting. They had like black paint around their eyes. I call them guyliner Rimmel.
It wasn't guyliner, dude.
It's beyond guyliner. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
We're accentuating the whites of our eyes.
It was quartz paint without the white part. Yeah. Because that'd be weird.
We're accentuating the whites of our eyes, make
basically.
It's
yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Make it bigger.
Yeah. Like the drummer or whatever had like a streak with it, so it looked kind of cool. But I thought they were solid. Their singer was really good.
Yeah.
He was insane.
He hit some real good notes.
There were a few times I noticed that they really layered on the choruses.
Yeah, he had the backing tracks.
The thing is, he didn't need that because he was still hitting those notes for the most part.
But what he was using is like he had. I think it was good because he had the power to deliver the high notes, but just adding the harmonies beneath really make those parts pop out.
I feel like it sounded kind of weird because it didn't feel like it was behind his voice. It felt like it was matching his voice. Like, felt like he was trying to compete with the
oh yeah
vocal.
And
I didn't quite like that. I feel like it would have been better if it was just kind of soft. And in the background, so you didn't really need it.
So when Pizza brought that up with me later, I thought it was actually him using like an echo pedal.
No, it was recording.
Because
it
sounds like the same volume.
Like
it doesn't sound like a harmony.
But they were ever so slightly different.
Yeah, I didn't notice that the notes were different, but it sounded like it was an echo and not like a.
Oh, he had
a backing track.
He had a delay on, but besides having a delay on. There were backing tracks in almost all of the songs for layer vocals and harmonies, mostly lower voices when he did the very high notes, just to make sure he didn't lose any weight to to the voice. Probably because a thing that we've seen in other bands that have played is that they have all the rest of the musicians providing all the backing vocals and the harmonies, and in this case, he had the backing track for that.
Small band,
The
four dudes,
four guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last song, the singer dude came out in a straight jacket, and then he like ripped it off during the solo. It was pretty sick.
I don't know if you noticed, but they actually streaked his eye makeup so that it looked like he ran down one of his cheeks.
Maybe he just sweated and it did that.
I think that's probably.
They could have touched it up.
I think it's just
in like 2 seconds.
Honestly,
but it looked cool.
With it being Atlanta, I honestly do think it was sweat.
It's not hot inside, but it's hot on
it's
stage.
It's hot when you're on stage.
No, when you are on the stage.
No, I just said, but it's hot on stage.
And he was running around.
Yeah, he was insane.
Yeah. So. It worked. Like it
looked cool.
It was a good show.
And their new album's out today.
Yeah.
So check that out, I guess. Or yesterday, technically, because it's 2:45.
Yeah.
That we're recording this.
It's out Friday.
So just go and look for it right now.
Now.
Please.
Or listen to the rest of
this
episode.
Yeah, finish the episode.
You already downloaded it.
Yeah.
You already downloaded it.
You're already there, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
any more thoughts on Manimal?
No.
Solid.
Honestly, solid opener, man.
The vocalist is probably one of the better ones I've heard today.
We heard some. We'll see.
And then we got.
Next up,
Persephone.
I was very surprised by this band. I didn't know really what to expect from them. With their band name being a girl's name and a sort of old fashioned sounding thing, I was expecting like something similar to Oceans of Slumber.
She's a Greek.
It was the
Greek goddess. Yeah. She's the Greek goddess. Yeah, it's not of just a girl. And the queen of the underworld.
Yeah.
I have been corrected.
She ain't a pomegranate.
Whatever. Anyway, so this band was it was like proggy mellow death. It was intense.
It was proggy mellow death.
Proggy mellow
death. Exactly.
And it was very different from Oceans of Slumber.
It was the opposite of Oceans of Slumber.
But it was more like Dark Tranquility style mellow death, where it's very harsh as opposed to like the lighter.
Well, it's because there were elements that, like a lot of the times when they really went into the death metal side, it wasn't even melodic at all. It was just proper death metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, aside from maybe the vocalist being more of a melodist style.
Mm. But they had some sick solos.
They just had more Dark Tranquility than Amorphous. While I was there.
Depends if you also count old Amorphous.
Yeah. Current Amorphous.
I think this worked way better as a live show than what we've seen.
I had basically little to no expectations for this, and I enjoyed it immensely. The intensity, I was there for it. I thought the solos were sick. The crowd was into it, which I wasn't even sure if they would, being, harsher stuff. I wasn't expecting harsher stuff, but I got it, and I'm happy I did. It was very good. I had literally never listened to Persephone before this, but I am definitely going to check them out.
And they also had good, very good stage presence.
They did.
The harsh vocalist was really owning that stage.
Mm-hmm. The vocalist and even like the guitarist and the keyboardist, mm-hmm. like they were all great. Like. Yep. I think this band is a good example of like a festival like this. Even if you're totally not familiar with the band and have no interest, don't sleep on them. They can surprise you and you might have something special on your hands. So, Persephone, I'm there.
Solid.
I went to the bank.
Larry went to the bank. It was an adventure.
Yeah.
I was there for about half a set and then I went to the bank because I had to get money.
I think Four Gates was very excited to see Persephone. She
was looking forward to it.
Yeah, she was. I knew she wanted to go on the floor, and then I'm like, I'll check it out. And I was, like I said, surprised.
So to let you all know, Four Gates actually did came today to the show, but now it's like super late, and she wasn't staying with us. So
and it's antisocial.
Yeah.
Where is the gym?
Her spirit is with us.
Yeah, they gotta do that 3 a.m.
3
a.m. squats.
3 a.m. squats. They're squatting this exact moment while we record this.
Squatting their bed.
Oh my.
You gotta make do. Alright. So, anything else on Persephone? I like them a lot.
The little bit I heard was really good. But as someone who's not really interested in metal death, it did not appeal to me.
That's fair.
It did, but for a festival setting, it was perfect.
There's a little spice thrown into the mix today. Yeah. I liked it.
The only thing I didn't like was they had a lot of moments where it was just kind of like the breakdown type of choke stuff.
Well, it's just death metal, isn't it?
Not usually. Not like that. Mm. Not extended to that amount. I think maybe they just cut out a little bit of that.
Mm.
That's just me.
How dare you have personal taste?
I know.
Oh, maybe they decided to like pad some songs out a little bit to make it a little easier for them. Maybe.
I mean, they only had an hour long set.
They wanted to play X songs X, Y, and Z, you know, or you can pad out your song by an extra 10 seconds with little effort, and it doesn't fuck with the whole flow of everything. I feel like that's on the table.
It's a live show, and you can fuck with things a bit.
Yeah. I'm no musician, but I feel like that would be an option on the table. If you don't want to play, if you only want to play like these 8 songs, you can make up another 2 minutes.
Hold on. With a 1 hour set, 8 songs, it's like pretty much, at most you can get 10 maybe, because they talk between songs and everything, and you don't always have like a true hour.
And them being also progressive, generally means they have longer songs than other
But like, you can pull like a solid song worth out of your ass, I'm sure.
Well, so the next band, what came next?
Bloodbound.
Bloodbound. So Bloodbound,
very different from Persephone.
Was yeah.
A little bit.
So there were some dragons in there.
A couple of dragons.
Several dragons.
Singer had dragon horns.
Very yeah. Baby like dragon
little,
horns.
Little devil horns.
Devil horns, I would say.
They were like cool. A quarter inch.
Yeah.
So
again, they had these guys had the whole setup, the makeup, and
the awesome jackets.
Yeah. And those pants and all the. Yeah.
I want that. I want the singer's vest.
Their vest has like the Nosferatu album art on it.
It has
so
stupid
sick.
Fucking face.
The
on
weird
it.
Devil face thing.
I love it.
So their style is very catchy sing along chorus type stuff, which I think is pretty fun in a live environment.
Especially Moria that in Nosferatu, those went out.
Really you mean their old songs?
Yes.
Oof.
Also, first North American show ever.
Yeah.
Oh yes, it was their first. Yeah. We got a lot of that today.
All their shirts actually sold out.
They did.
They all their shirts sold out.
They're getting big. The last like album or two.
Sold out.
Yeah, they sold out. They sold out. But
they got those ineffective synths.
Yeah, so yeah, they're one of the bands that I think we mentioned before. They kind of do the Sabaton do synth arena rock type thing, which you know, valid style, fun on live show.
But they still had like four really like power metal songs.
Yeah, so they still have like you know your kick ass you know riffs and fast drums and shit in there. Along with lots of sing-along stuff. Mm-hmm. I wish I had studied before this to like actually know the lyrics, because I know bits of like some of their singles in the last couple of years. Like they have the Daenerys one, they have the dragon one, they have the other dragon one.
Daenerys one is also a dragon one.
And I'm probably missing another dragon one in there.
Wasn't the new album called like War of Dragons or something?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah,
and so the one before that dragons. Was like, was it Stormborn or something?
Stormborn, which is a really good
song. Which dragons. Is also Dragons. And Game of Thrones.
There was also...
Ice and Fire, I suppose.
They also played Moria, which I forgot which album. It was
Unholy Cross.
Unholy Cross.
That was an older one.
That was their first one with the current vocalist.
Mm. Was it?
It is.
Yeah.
That's a fun song.
I love Moria.
Moria's a really fun song.
My favorite.
It was. It's great as a sing-along song.
Ed Lethron was there, and I think he's not the most emotive individual, but I think he was hyped for Moria.
Yeah.
He loves him some Tolkien.
That's bad Tolkien, though.
Who cares?
It's this is he'll get.
They had the great...
Talk to Hansi. That's as close as
he'll get. Yeah. Until Hansi comes back.
Until Tolkien comes back to life.
They had a great show. Bloodbound had
good presence.
Their vocalist, very high energy.
Yeah.
Very high energy vocalist.
He was a very good vocalist.
I like the way he does the double arm.
He seems like
a happy little kid doing it.
That's a good move. I love it.
He did a lot of like pointing at the individual audience members to make them feel special.
Yeah.
I like
fist
bump.
Here's actually an unrelated question that I have. For any musicians out there, when you're playing a live show and you're not actually like paying attention to individuals in the audience because you're busy like playing music. Do you just randomly point out into the audience to pretend to acknowledge someone there to keep the hype up? Let us know.
Do you really want to know the answer to that question being an audience member?
Yeah, the answer is probably yes, right?
It's going
to
be mostly yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
Like,
I'm fine
but
with that.
But every now and then,
can they
even
see
eye
the
contact
yeah.
and you get some kind of reaction.
Yeah.
I got eye contact from them.
Yeah, I'm going to say that
I felt special.
In this kind of festival that we're at, that is a small festival but with big names and they are... Like, you have a lot of people, but you still can get close.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm sure a lot of them, especially this guy, just was looking around and seeing how people were having fun and just interacted with them.
Yeah, for first American show, it's got to be maybe a stressful thing. Because it's like, oh, are these weirdos going to like us? And these weirdos liked them.
They were very, very surprised when I found out all their shirts sold out. Because apparently they... did not expect them to themselves be that popular over here. So
good for them.
Yeah,
more bands should sell out like that.
It's effective.
And then tell other bands, hey, we went to North America. We sold all our merch out.
Did you know that North America really likes Sabaton? So grab yourself a synth player and get going.
It's called a like Sabaton, though. It's a different style. They can get a little repetitive sometimes. They've learned to use it to make it sellable, and that's what Sabaton does.
Yeah, it's mostly like the synth-driven kind of punchy chorus that they started using the last few albums. That's where most of that comparison comes from. They still have some songs that are more straightforward power metal, but they don't really have that old sound that they had, which was a very Iron Maiden gallopy.
That's mostly what. But it was still like the really catchy like choruses.
Yeah, they still have that bit.
But then, the last song they played, was it an encore?
No, that's not an encore.
That is there.
So, yeah, they played Nosferatu.
It was great.
They had like the weird dude come out.
Yeah, so like, I'll pump the brakes a second here. So they had like this like Nosferatu devil guy come out, and they have like a bit where like the singer's like praying to him. It's neat. Ben and I had the same thought independently. It would be so sick if the dude whips the mask off and it was Urban Breed.
Old singer?
That's the original singer.
He came up and I'm like, oh man, it's obviously going to be like, I've never seen Bloodbound. Yeah, I've never seen Bloodbound. I've never heard about a Bloodbound show. So I'm like, oh, this is a cool bit. This has to be a guest vocalist. And then I like break into a Nosferatu duet. That would be cool.
This is foreshadowing for later in the show though. So that didn't happen then, but later on.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it was still really fun to have that song, even with just what's-his-face, the normal vocalist.
And then, Bloodbound was over.
Yeah, I think they were rushed. They were like, okay guys, we gotta sing this song really quick, let's just do it, and then...
I think the show started late.
I think they started late, and because they're only like the third band, they couldn't really go over. They had to, you know.
Yeah. I'm worried that they cut out songs that I really wanted to hear.
Yeah, did they cut out, like, any other songs from Nosferatu because of that?
Because yeah. they usually play like Metal Monster as well. Because that has a really good chorus as well. Mm. So
he's a metal monster. I really like Beyond the Moon on that album because it has like a big whoa at the end. That would have been fun.
But then anyway.
Or Not Eagle Fly Free.
Or the Not Eagle Fly Free song. Which one is that? Falling from Grace.
We're not talking about Bloodbound albums. We're talking about prog power.
Okay, next.
Anyway.
So the next band was Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
And they played all of Return to Heaven Denied.
And
I think Return to Heaven Denied and Pizza or Grease is an incredibly boring album.
Get it out of the way, guys. Are you done?
No.
When you're at a big festival like this, you got to take strategic naps when you can. I took a couple.
I just kind of hung out.
Don't at me.
I'm not a fan of Roberto's voice, particularly in the higher stuff.
Why?
He sounds very, very like a nasally.
He sounds very whiny when he goes high.
Not the really high stuff, but just below that.
I think that's my biggest.
And then just Labyrinth in general is just kind of
I think that's my biggest issue with Labyrinth is that he just sounds kind of whiny. I can dig the rest of it, but like.
Lows are really good and has really high
sound. He just sounds whiny, and I can't get over that.
Range.
I don't want a whiny vocalist in a genre that isn't pop punk. So.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, cool. So I really enjoyed
this
show.
I did too.
This was incredible.
Great performance by all of them.
These guys showed up and they brought it. It was insane.
The vocals were not so much. They were very close to how it was on the album from its 20-year-old album.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and
amazing.
It's no joke.
There was so much energy during this show from like the musicians, from the crowd, everything.
This was prime showmanship and musicianship. Everyone was at the top of their game playing everything.
Yeah, like the solos, the vocalists, everything.
Everything. And just going around, interacting between themselves, with the crowd.
They didn't do that much crowd stuff, I didn't think. Like, the vocalist, he just kind of like soaked in the love and it worked.
They did a lot of crowd stuff actually. He periodically swept his boom or his stand mic over the audience.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Like it was a boom mic.
That was cool.
That is not something you would have noticed from the floor very much, but that is something you would notice from the stands.
I forgot that he did that. I'm
caught that while napping.
It was like I said, it was a couple strategic naps.
Strategic naps.
Because it's actually very hard to take naps at a power metal festival.
Imagine go figure. That.
I did really like when someone had the flag.
Yeah.
Oh, that was sick.
Yeah, that
you were as a cave.
That was great.
I was wondering where that flag came from.
It's a crowd member. And it was a flag. With the date. It said, return to Atlanta denied. And
I can see
September.
That.
September.
And it was today's date. He held it up and like the crowd's going insane. He puts it on as a fucking cape. Aw. I think I Snapchatted some of it.
I will say as a response to the nasally bit, I find that a lot of Italian singers, for some reason, do have that sort of nasally tone.
It's because they're all classically operatically trained.
They're cultured.
And they all come from a classical singing background.
That can be a factor.
It can be, but it can also...
Maybe they just sing like that.
Maybe that's just how Italian people sound. I don't know.
It might
have
something to do with the language itself.
I feel like it is because you can tell even when he's singing that you can tell there is an accent. And Fabio
as well.
Fabio does.
Conti
does to an extent.
Ancient Bards check too. She does.
Ancient Bards does it, so it's not.
Might come from the language and the way it works.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Just
from
the way
what
like
you're
you
learn
to talk. Yeah.
So for me, I've learned to ignore that to an extent. And as you pointed out, it's his really high highs are good and his lows are good.
Yeah,
but
it's a very specific range.
Well, you
that
see,
he does that. The thing is, I also find it's one that he focuses.
It's like
on
I know what you're talking about, but that's just how voices sound to me. So I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it hasn't really bothered me.
Yeah, it's as I said, it's something that to me does not bother me that much. So it did not take anything away from my enjoyment of Labyrinth when I was actually still there and not sitting outside in pain because I my feet hurt from standing. But overall, it was a very good show. This was one of the bands I was really hyped to see, and it was worth it.
Yeah, and I can say that besides being hyped about wanting to see this and hear these songs, it was actually a great show, and not just because they played Lady Lost in Time and all those great songs.
I do want to say, so Four Gates is a huge fan of Labyrinth, especially this album. And I don't think I've ever seen her as happy as I did when she was listening to this show.
I was watching her from up top because I thought, I'm going to see someone that's like super into this, right? And she was having a great time.
Yeah.
So be happy for that.
Yeah.
There was happiness brought into the world.
She was also having a great time later, foreshadowing.
Four gates shadowing.
Coil.
We've probably used that joke before.
Coil, what was your take on Return to Heaven tonight?
Everything was amazing.
That's a story.
I would hope they'd be a good band live as I do moderately like them.
And they were.
All right. So now we're done being positive.
Are we done with...
I got a Labyrinth t-shirt.
Yeah, as soon as the show was over, I went straight to the merch table and bought the Return to Heaven Tonight shirt because it was cool looking.
Same.
So, good job, Darko.
I like the Architect shirt a lot better, actually. I thought that was a cooler shirt.
I bought the
I like the colors better.
It's purple and has lightning.
Yeah,
it's
like,
pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
I bought the Labyrinth shirt, but I also bought one of the Bloodbound shirts before they got all sold out, so...
Oh, nice. You're right. It's here.
Very
nice.
There's a lot of cool merch. They got the regular band merch table, and they also have like a merch room.
It's a good merch day.
It's cool.
We can talk about that merch after.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Ooh, we got more merch to cover.
Do
we want to hit the next band?
So
next band.
Labyrinth and Finish. And what do? We just
Redemption.
Redemption.
Redemption. So.
Oh baby, Redemption.
Mixed things about this band.
I don't know.
Like Larry said, this was a strategic nap for me.
Yeah.
And
band is very technically capable.
Yes.
Like,
the guitarist
is great,
and the bassist. And the drummer.
You were asleep for...
I know.
You were sick during
this. I was dying. I was dying for most of the...
So.
But the vocalist wasn't that good.
So, guys.
The vocals was the worst part.
So, the first song comes on, and it's got like a 30-second instrumental intro. And I'm like, all right, these guys are really good. I'm really digging this.
And then
Tom England comes out.
And does something.
And he starts singing?
Moving his mouth.
And I look over at Pizzor.
Squawking.
And he looks over at me. And we're both like,
what the fuck?
What is happening right now?
Yeah.
Is this for real?
So we come from the three previous vocalists were really good. And in my opinion, one better than the each one better than the last one. And this wasn't up to standard, like,
no. I have so many miscellaneous thoughts on this band. I don't even know where to start with.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sure you're great. I'm sure you're a wonderful person.
Lovely person.
It's just that, no.
He is okay in the studio with Evergrey because he sings a little bit softer and a little bit more sorrowful. And he works all right there. But he clearly can't do it live and he can't do the kind of energy that Redemption needs. And it was very clear.
The heart was there, I guess, but
the pitch was not.
Yeah, I don't mean to shit on this band. I napped because I needed rest, just because of how insane this day had been so far. But I felt as like I like listened more later on. I felt like this band exists solely to show off their keyboardist. That dude was going insane.
He had the crazy flippy.
He had a spinny keyboard.
Yeah, that was really cool. It swiveled. It was like a Lazy Susan keyboard.
Yeah, like that dude was always going off. I thought he was MVP. Well. General MVP. We'll get to the surprises.
Also, all of their other instrumentalists were very good, though.
Yeah.
They're all very, very good.
It's just that he really brought it.
Yeah,
unfortunately. And they also, that band was the one that today had the most technical issues.
Did they?
Yeah, at one point. But when they started, the keyboard wasn't working. It took like a couple minutes of diddling that when it actually started sounding.
Maybe that's why I was sleeping the first few
also
songs.
Then, at some point, the guitarist on the left of the stage started doing a solo, and he had no sound. So it was just, like, you could see that he was ripping it, but no sound was coming out, and the sound didn't come in until, like, three solos later.
There were markedly less sound issues today, which was nice.
Yeah, compared to the other days.
No, like, catastrophic mic things, like, the last few days.
Yeah.
So good job, crew.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, crew.
A couple other random things I like to hear about this band. So this was the only band so far at the show to use a projector with the show.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
This was a thing.
It was weird.
So a solid like 80% of the time the projector was just doing like generic like iTunes visualizer light things. Another like 10% of the time it was doing like music videos of Tom Englund.
Yeah, and like hot chicks.
They're playing the music video for the song that they're playing live, so you can see them playing the music while watching them play the music.
Yeah.
I think one time it was a lyric video, which I kind of wish people.
But it wasn't. It wasn't.
That's okay.
And he was changing the words.
It wasn't insane because it was live, second weirdest one. They had us. No, not the wall. That's the weirdest one.
No, there were two inspirational.
The second weirdest one, I think, was when they had an animation of the Ozymandias poem. Meanwhile, they weren't actually like doing that.
Oh,
poem.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, like no.
I thought that was supposed to be a lyric video.
I thought that at first, and then I noticed the words weren't right, and then I paid attention. I'm like, oh, this is Ozymandias.
I thought that was supposed to be a lyric video, and Tom was just like going crazy.
No, the whole like look on my works, ye mighty in despair. That whole thing, you know, it's a fine poem, but
there was that,
and it looped. It looped a lot.
And there was that one video where it showed like
the Chinese
news. Not that one. But
oh yeah,
the
news clips.
News clips, and like one of them looked like they were trying to say, oh, this is the left side of the political spectrum. This is the right side. The left side was just news. The right side, you see fucking Alex Jones on there.
Wait, there was Alex Jones?
Yeah.
I missed that. Fuck, I was asleep for that part.
Like I saw his rage. I saw his rage face there.
Damn.
Fuck, I missed Alex Jones.
It was just for a couple seconds, and then went right back to the equalizer.
This show was an experience.
But then
it turned into an actual experience.
So they had two surprises,
well,
I guess.
There's still the guy going up the
Great
Wall of China with
the
legs.
Yeah, so one video was like, it was a bunch of walls, just like walls in general. And then they had the Great Wall of China, and it was a guy with no legs climbing, which, okay, that was cool. But it was like 15 seconds out of nowhere, and they never brought up again.
How long did it take? It took 2 hours.
It took 2 hours for the Man with No Legs to climb the Great Wall.
And then
why is this applicable?
Maybe this, I couldn't hear the lyrics of the song. Maybe it had something to do with overcoming walls.
I don't know.
You were dead at this
point. It was like a fever.
But I saw that part. I saw that moment. But nothing made sense.
The show was like a fever dream up until the guest showed up.
But like, why would you do that for like, you know, half a minute and not the rest of the song?
Fever
like,
dreams,
making
dude,
a video
nobody
based
knows.
On the entire, like, make it the entire song thematical, but no.
No, it was so strange. Let's get to the guests.
And then we all woke up from that crazy mad fever dream.
The guests were the cool
and
part.
And we met the first guest, which was their old singer.
Right.
Yeah, so this...
Flew in from Madrid this morning or something.
This dude comes out. I didn't know who it was because I have nothing about Redemption. I asked Pete, or he clarified, but the crowd went nuts.
Mm-hmm. The crowd was already going nuts.
Yeah.
Good or a bad way?
Good way.
That was the crowd was the most nuts for Redemption.
Yeah,
right?
Even lots of people in the stands started standing up when he stepped out.
Yeah, this was like standing ovation for the OG vocalist.
Yeah,
this was it. Which it was, you know, cool moment, cool hype moment.
And he was really good.
He was really good.
He was much better than Tom McGuinness.
I'm like, oh, this is what Redemption is supposed to sound like. Okay, yeah, I dig it.
Would you say they had a redemption?
Yes, momentarily.
Because
he only guest vocaled one song.
He only did one song. Yeah, he should have stuck around.
But then...
It was pretty wholesome because they all hugged each other.
Yeah, and then we got back to like some regular songs. But then...
Then...
We had another guest.
Chris Boland.
Chris Boland.
Real special guest.
Boland.
I thought it was a P. It's a P, isn't it? It's Poland.
God.
I could have sworn...
Oh, no.
Chris
Fact check.
Of Megadeth fame.
Chris from Megadeth.
And this dude's old.
This dude's old, and he...
And he comes out and he fucking shreds.
Shredded like a motherfucker. This guy was insane. And, like, not only was he, like, shredding on solos, after, like, a song or two, they just straight up played Megadeth.
Yeah.
Well, something else that I noticed, they had definitely planned, like, prior. They didn't just, like...
Well, of course, it's all planned.
No, but they didn't just, like, add him in, right?
No, it's
as,
always
like,
planned.
It's always
like
planned.
But he wrote... It seemed like he
no, they,
wrote
they wrote
his own
a second, like, melody guitar, rhythm guitar part for him.
Yeah, and it also, it seemed like he wrote his own solo, not just playing the solos that were
Yeah, they didn't just, like, repurpose a song for
the
special
guest. It was very much his style.
Yeah.
It was, the solo was so different
than
everything
else. They added
a
second, they deliberately added another rhythm guitar track.
Mm-hmm.
So I there are points where I'm like, oh my god, I'm hearing, like, three guitars at once. This never happens. And then all of his solos were very Megadeth-y.
It was really good.
Yeah, like, his guitar playing was insane.
He's so good.
And, on
and
when
fucking
they played... Like, well, they played P-Cells. P-Cells, I don't know the name of the song.
P-Cells, who's behind?
Yeah. And the drummer was singing.
Yeah, so like...
And he was a great
singer
as
during
well.
During Megadeth, the drummer was singing, and then afterward they said, oh, and featuring a drummer who's a better singer than... what's his face from Megadeth?
Megadeth.
Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine, that's it. And it's like, yeah.
All right. Yeah. That was good.
And
I was a fan.
Nice touch during that was like they had like Megadeth art, but like it said Redemption, but in like their font, like the Megadeth font.
Yeah,
that
and also
cute.
The crowd was going fucking nuts. So,
oh yeah,
during
like,
this whole thing.
Can we just get Megadeth during Prog Power?
From like the moment he came on as a guest until after he left, the crowd was going fucking bananas.
It, instead of Megadeth, we can get a tribute band of power metal bands doing Megadeth songs.
That's a
really
good idea.
Megadeth songs
with Chris. With Chris, dude.
With Chris Bowes?
With Chris Bowes, yes.
With Chris and Marty Friedman.
That'll work. That'll be a lot of costumes all together.
So then all the guests leave.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then all the guests leave, and Tom England comes back out, and they play two more songs.
And it was whatever.
And that was...
I thought the last one was
still, like, going fucking nuts, though.
And I think because the keyboardist was really going ham at this point.
But
the last song, I think... He sounded not as bad.
I was also
a lot lower.
I was ignoring Tom Englund for the most part and just focusing on the keyboardist, and that made my experience better.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So overall, Redemption was great when Tom wasn't there.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been great if they had someone else, and
sorry,
but
dude.
He brought it down a fair bit.
Yeah.
My observation, this is more of like a hypothesis. I don't know if it's a hypothesis or not. Wasn't this supposed to be the show that they were doing a live album for?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was
recorded at the museum of that performance.
It does not make sense then to do something so disconnected and weird.
Because it's a live album.
It's hype moments. No, no.
I think that... Like,
it's going to make a weird video.
Yeah, it's going to be...
You'll edit it.
But hey, that means everyone else gets to see the guy climbing the Great Wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys will all be able to see this if you buy it.
I can watch the Alex Jones things on YouTube.
Maybe they'll edit that out.
Who knows?
It was a thing. It was a whole experience.
It was kind of awkward, I'll be honest.
It was an experience. Me and Pizza kept looking at each other. What is going on?
I can say it was really...
It was fucked up.
It was really confusing. It was really confusing for me because I was like dying. I was having an actual fever dream because all these crazy US food finally got to my system and it hit me hard. We were sitting on a spot where the wonderous AC of the venue was not hitting. It was hot.
We were in the dead zone.
Yeah. It was really weird.
So yeah, Redemption. Really weird.
Bad trip, but well.
When they were good, they were great.
Yeah, yeah. They had some high highs, some low lows.
Not much mid.
And some can just overall confusion.
Yeah. And then that ended.
Yeah, so who got the notes?
It's on Reddit.
Someone grab your fucking phone.
Oh yeah.
We're recording on two of our phones.
Yeah, we need to say this.
So we got the days 3 and 4
announcements.
Yes, three and four announcements.
Day 3, first band is Windrose.
Yes, the dwarven metal folk power ish band.
That'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Second band.
Wait.
Do you actually know them?
Windrose?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, what's the second band?
Do you want me to just go through the list, or
we're just gonna rapid fire?
Are we gonna rapid fire, or are we gonna talk about them?
Second band is Subsignal.
I don't know what they are.
They're like one of those alt rock bands, right?
It seemed like they're very poppy, very alt rocky, not metal.
Yeah, the beat that they showed because whenever they announced the band, they show a song, like half a song,
like a minute, or so,
and it was like straight up pop rock, and I didn't know what they were doing there.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
from the clip,
they didn't sound too bad, but
doesn't
not
match
fitting.
I say not
much like what we experienced yesterday.
Especially for day 3 and 4, the quote unquote real festival.
Yeah, because it wasn't neither prog nor power by any stretch of the imagination.
Maybe it's just one of those bits of variety of the
song. Who knows? Someone correct us if we're wrong.
I am semi familiar with the band. It's been a little while. They do have their prog moments.
Are they good?
They're decent. Maybe
it
was just a bad
song.
Yeah, maybe it was
another
a good
band
choice.
That's on the list. I would say better, but we'll get to that band later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's up next?
Barren Earth.
You were excited for this.
That
band.
Was the first one that I saw and went, oh!
Yeah. Those are one fucking nuts, though.
And Barren Earth, I kind of was like, I might actually come. I might actually come those days now.
Really good.
I'm not familiar, but you said they're prog death. That sounds interesting.
I listened to a song a minute ago. It sounded really good.
Yeah, they remind me a lot of Witherscape, where they have their prog moments are more leaning towards prog rock almost. Mm-hmm. But then when they go into the death metal side, they have that very obvious.
Intro. How do they compare to Persephone?
We listen to them.
Their harsher stuff, like the vocals, are very deep. Growls.
Yeah, they're
but then dead. Their prog side is weirdly softer.
So
it makes more of a stark contrast.
I see.
They
but
remind
the
me a lot.
Instrumentation seems to be steady throughout.
They remind me a lot of Witherscape.
I think I've listened to them. I don't remember. It's late.
And then who?
After that,
Psychotic Waltz.
Who are these people?
I was having a conversation with some people who were. They were generally older, like probably late 30s or 40s, who seemed to be very hyped about it. So that might be one to check out later.
I do recognize the name.
Let us know.
From the song that was playing, it sounded like instrumental wise, they sounded really cool.
Mm. We'll check it out.
Drop a comment or like something.
Link us a
song. Put songs in the Reddit thread on the Power Metal Discord, where I posted the lineup.
Do it whatever you want, just let us know so we figure this out.
Yeah.
That'd be a good place for it all.
So
Then it was Orton Hogan.
Pizza hated that.
The crowd liked that.
I didn't hate it. I was disappointed it wasn't Thornbridge.
Thornbridge is too small.
I know, but they both have those choruses.
Thornbridge is.
I think Orton will be fun live, even if I'm not really.
Orton Hogan has more material too, which is better.
Yeah, and they have albums. A much better brand recognition.
The video they played for was
Gunman.
It was Gunman, and as soon as I saw it come on, I was like, I was waiting for it, and as soon as the vocal started, I started singing along to it.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah,
I
know,
the entire crowd.
I sang it a little bit to Pizza Lord, and he like flipped me off.
It's like, dude, no.
I think it's gonna be a fun one next year.
It's going to be fun. It obviously was well received, so.
It'll be like Bloodbound, where they just they have those choruses.
No, it was not the headliner.
That wasn't the headliner.
Who's the headliner?
That's a pretty big act to not be a headliner.
It's Tommy Prog.
Tommy Prog.
Oh,
Seventh Wonder.
The Seventh
Wonder. That's a lot of wonders.
Wow. That's something to look forward to.
They'll probably play like a whole album.
Are they just gonna do like Mercy Falls straight
because
through?
Like it'd be
they
really went... weird for Seventh Wonder to play piecemeal songs.
I would be okay with Mercy Falls. I actually kind of like that one.
I don't know if they're gonna do Mercy Falls though, because they played Mercy
Falls.
No, they
played Tiara.
The new album will be out allegedly by then.
They would. Mm-hmm. Tiara comes out like in a month.
Yeah.
But they're gonna play Tiara.
But
probably
depends. Will they play in full or will they just play a set list that's heavy on Tiara?
I
think it'd be really weird for Seventh Wonder of all bands to play piecemeal songs.
Maybe.
Yeah, so
like they also have an extensive discography now that they could do that.
They probably,
well.
If they're going to be focusing on the new album, what I see them doing is probably focusing on the new album, but since they're also the headliner, they have more time. They may pull stuff from, say, the Great
like
State.
Kendra.
Yeah, they'll play all of like Tiara Kendra. And then do a different set list.
I'm hoping for either them adding in Angel Maker or Wise Man.
Is there a runtime for Tiara yet? Has that been...
No idea.
I could look for it after this.
I'm gonna guess an hour and 10 minutes.
You heard it here first.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my Tiara guess.
Probably be about an hour.
It's gonna be around there. I'm
10 minutes
off in one way.
It's been a while since we've had fake news from the Biscuit.
Yeah. Heard it here first. Hour 10.
This is real news though. And that's going to be like a 2-hour show.
Real news.
It's a lot of Tommy.
All right. And then now we're moving into day 4, the big day, big boy day.
This is Frog Day.
The opener is Sorcerer.
Never heard of
him. Who is Sorcerer?
No idea.
I saw the name. I was thinking a different Sorcerer, but it wasn't. So I was a little disappointed.
I vaguely know who they are.
Are they bad?
I can't remember. That's the thing. It's one, it's 2:30 in the morning, but two.
It's 3:30 in the morning.
3:30 in the morning.
I guess we have no thoughts on this one.
See,
you also
just heard the dichotomy between Zelda and Larry, where I ask if they're bad. That's my first question. His first question is, are they good?
You gotta
that's the glass half full.
Optimistic, open mind. You know, we had multiple bands today where I had never listened to them before, and I was blown away.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
I believe, from what I remember, they are decent. It'll be interesting seeing them live.
I'll take decent.
I'm sure they'll be fine. It's a day 4 band. That's
a
big day.
We don't know anything about them.
No.
If you do know the
You know the drill by this point.
Yeah, put it somewhere.
Song, I guess.
Yeah. You can be angry at us for not knowing your favorite band, but just link us a song at least.
And then...
Who's up next?
Jag Panzer!
I can't believe
Prog Power knows USPM exists.
Yeah.
Jag Panzer.
They must be
what confused. That's a prolific band.
Oh, they're
big
one
name
of
USPM.
The first.
Yeah.
One of the first power metal bands.
These guys are old.
Period.
Man.
They're like up with like Manila Road and shit. Well,
their debut came out the same year as the Halloween EP.
Wow.
Jeez, it's like what, mid-80s?
It's 84. Yeah. Ample Destruction.
They are prolific.
They might have had something before that, but
that'll be a show.
No,
that's
going to
be
well enough.
Jag Panzer is one of those bands that are in their own league.
Yeah.
It's gonna be riff-tastic.
Like, I've been talking about that all day, right? There are these people that are in their own league. You know, you got your Fabios, you got your Hansies, you got your Tobias Sammets.
And Conklin still sounds great. He doesn't quite hit those highs like he used to, but he still had some.
Like I'm even if he can't hit the notes, he's been a front man for over 30 years at this point.
For two,
he's one of those guys.
I mean, they've never been massive, but...
Still, he's one of those guys that has hit
they will be
league
good.
Of his own.
They will be good.
I honestly can't
wait. And he's an opener. They're an opener.
Band two.
Where are we going from here?
Caligula's
Horse. We're
getting horse.
Deep into the prog.
Caligula's Horse was actually really... Their album last year was really good.
I know Ed Lepon like had his like album of the year or something like that.
It was really good.
I listened to like a song and I enjoyed it. So
it's very enjoyable.
We will enjoy it.
Yes. I don't really know them. Maybe I'll look at them.
They have a weird name.
They're really proggy. Like real proggy.
I like the proggy.
We like proggy.
But
like
I,
modern prog or...
No, actual prog. I like actual prog.
I don't know what that means.
Triangles.
Modern prog as in chug, 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 chug.
No.
I don't like the chug.
No, like prog, prog.
Okay, good.
So they do things and don't just chug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They vary things up as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm not huge on prog, and I love the new Caligula's Horse album last year.
There you go.
So.
That's good. Next is another surprise. Poets of the Fall.
This one.
What is Poets of the Fall?
All right.
Enlighten us.
My mother-in-law actually is the one who introduced me.
Oh, boy.
Okay. My mother-in-law is also a massive symphonic metal head.
They're symphonic metal?
Are they symphonic?
They are not symphonic metal. I've listened to them. I do like them. I would call them... They straddle the alt-metal prog metal. So, but they are very... They are popular. And they are good.
I saw someone with their shirt today before the announcement, and I'm like, wow, that person must be very happy.
Yeah, I know they were... I'm pretty sure it's them. Someone will probably point out that I'm wrong, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were in Alan Wake.
Wait, with the first one?
Both as themselves and as a fake band.
There was a fake band in Alan Wake.
Yeah, that is all... unless it's a different band...
Because that was
I'm
like
pretty
a.
Sure, it's Pose of the Fall. Because Pose of the Fall also.
Did they do the Children of the Elder God song?
Yeah, that's.
I really like that song.
I mean, it's a lot different than Poet's normal style. It's heavier.
Because that
Poet's that I did. I think they did like the outro song or something like that.
It's been a long time since I played Alan Wake.
I don't know.
I've never
probably
played
wrong.
Alan
someone
Wake.
Put me out.
But that's a cool vibe.
What?
I've never played Alan Wake, but I know the vibe of that game. That's an interesting
it's,
vibe.
It's a great game.
They are a good band.
It
was very weird seeing that listed there because I was like, I'm hyped.
We're
gonna try it.
My mother-in-law, to give you an idea how much she's a fan, she went all the way to Finland to go watch them.
So someone gives a shit, and so maybe we should give a shit.
I mean, it may not be up to your taste. I enjoy it, but there are other bands I am more hyped to see, of course.
And we'll get to those.
Such as who?
Such as who?
Well, not. I don't think. The
not
next
that,
one
not that
the next one is Ultra Prog.
Ultra Prog.
That's an old man.
Yeah, it's old. It's like it's aged for like a year.
What's
this
the actual old band?
Threshold.
Who is Threshold?
For those not familiar with the name Threshold, you may remember the video where they had people get naked and paint themselves in black paint.
God damn it.
I do not know this music video. I need to see
I it. Didn't so the video came on and I'm like, who the fuck is Threshold? And Pizza was like, Ultra Prog, the original Ultra Prog meme band. And I'm like, I don't remember. But then they got to the part of the video where they're painting themselves with paint. And I'm like, oh,
Ultra
the paint
Prog.
Video, Ultra Prog.
I feel like I'm so out of the loop on this.
So the Ultra Prog came from, I believe they're with Nuclear Blast.
Probably.
And in the description for the video, they described them as Ultra Prog Masters. Like,
masters.
What the hell is Maybe not masters, but Ultra Prog is
that was
the
keyword.
It.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's the keyword.
I need to look
what the hell does that mean?
It wasn't bad, but like Ultra Prog, what does that mean?
So if you're listening and you have a band, don't call yourself Ultra Prog.
Unless you can back.
Oh, I don't even think it was their fault. I think
if you can back up that you're Ultra Prog though, with like science, let us know.
Or
I would love to see what Ultra Prog definitively is.
Or maybe with raw talent.
Every single instrument is playing a totally different song, and it just happens to.
And it all works.
It just happens to line up at certain points.
It's like Pink Floyd.
Polyrhythm.
It's like Pink Floyd, right? It just backwards. Yeah.
Okay. The important one.
Wait. We gotta get a hot take from Coil.
Is he awake?
Hot take.
Prog. What's your thoughts on Ultra Prog?
I don't know.
Alright.
Beautiful.
Thanks for the hot take.
Hot take.
Well, I'll say I've listened to Threshold and I like him.
Oh, okay. we got a positive take.
Ooh.
Thanks for bringing us into your domain.
No problem. Porter's domain. Hot take. All right, now headliner.
We leave the domain.
I have more later, don't worry. Is this the headliner?
The other yes. band I am absolutely hyped for.
Is this the headliner?
This is the main headliner.
So this is
the headliner of
this
the
is your boy.
No one thought this was possible.
Let's put this into perspective. So if you remember, we mentioned before that for the first 2 days, we were really excited because Galenarius was coming. And I was like, no, possibly headline any other day that's bigger than Galenarius?
Before you guys, I gotta do the intro. So it's your boy. You may or may not remember. A couple months ago, we had a certain somebody on the podcast. And that certain somebody has a certain side project with another certain band. And they may or may not have like headlined Vakken this year or next year.
They were at Vakken. I don't think they...
Next year. They're headlining Vakken next year. You may or may not have heard of his little band called... Demons and Wizards.
Oh!
Yes! Fuck yes!
And they hyped it up with Terror Train, too.
Headlining, Prague Power, 2019, day 4, / the whole festival, presumably playing their new album.
Haunted Curse is coming to town, boys. I'm hyped.
Seventh Wonder guaranteed me that I'd be coming to day 3 or 4.
Demons reinforced it.
Both basically stamped and sealed. The entire thing.
I'm going to see Tommy Karavik and Hanzi Kirsch back to back.
Does this mean Hanzi is going to be back on the podcast?
We got to try.
We hope. Yeah.
We got to try.
Oh,
Demons and Wizards. Okay, I was saying this earlier. 2019, Year of Demons and Wizards. Headlining Vakken, headlining Prague Power, new album. I'm telling you, right here.
Oh,
the album is confirmed.
Or it might follow suit.
The album's confirmed for like spring.
Orchestral album for Blind Guardian is next, like early next year.
Uh-huh.
Two different
projects. Allegedly.
Uh-huh.
Allegedly.
Uh-huh.
It's been 20 years, Jack. Hanzi told us himself next year.
I won't even believe
year.
It if Hanzi does it while giving me a pinky swear. Unless he gives me the fucking album.
What's the German version of pinky swear? Do they do that?
Pinky swear, probably. So, on icing on the cake on that.
Iced earthing on the cake.
Well, the iced earthing on the cake on that today is that Pizor actually found a bootleg Blind Guardian CD.
We're moving on from
Imaginations from Hamburg.
Imaginations from Hamburg.
So we open it up, and it's a legit CD. Silver Press CD. It's real.
It's
not
a professional
like,
press.
Yeah.
Who thought it? Have you listened? Oh, yeah, I can see
we don't know.
I have no idea if it's awful or anything. It looks to be from the Imaginations Tour, right in their prime. It also has 3 extra songs that are supposedly acoustic. Which that could be neat.
So
it also could sound like total ass.
We got this cool bootleg, or Pizor got this cool booklet, and he's like, "Oh, I wonder what's in the booklet." So he pulls the booklet out. It's
totally
and
empty.
It's empty. Damn, so this is prime Hanzi Kirsch signing material.
I'm gonna make him sign as big as he can,
and he's gonna be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Don't ask, just sign.
And you're gonna be like, I bought this at Prague Power last year.
Like, assuming they do a signing session, we're gonna get in line. We're gonna say, "Hi, Hanzi, you were on our podcast."
I'll wait in line for an hour.
I'd wait in line for 5 hours only.
Yeah,
we're starting to get the line now.
Line now, whole year.
We're in front,
inside the venue. Put up a tent.
I'm just really, really hyped because two of my absolute favorite singers, backed by two of my favorite bands. We gotta
move it along a bit. We're dragging a bit.
What else we got?
So,
are we done with the stuff for next year?
Yeah.
Well, no, you might say the only thing I saw that we didn't mention yesterday.
Ooh, surprise take.
Forget about it.
Hot take.
Iron Attack, looking at their Metal Archive listing for the band members, does say Yama B
is
currently live.
He sort of.
Wait,
he guests with them, and occasionally when they do live stuff, he's there too.
Well, I know, but he will
is
be
Attack
live.
There?
That's right. Why is this relevant?
It's Iron Mask.
It's Iron Mask.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay, then my bad. Oh,
okay.
Never mind.
Forget that.
There's no Galnerius.
There's too many irons around.
You don't have that much.
There's only
so much weebiness.
Yeah, there's only one JPM.
Only one.
It's not like we're not getting Iron Attack, we're not getting like Unlucky Morpheus, we're not getting Jupiter. None of this shit.
Too many irons.
There's no weebs here.
Just Galnerius.
Anyway,
Iron Mask, I thought it was Iron Maiden.
So the announcement.
Iron Savior?
The announcement happened. And then a little new band from a certain Mark Portnoy. Mark. from a certain Mike Portnoy. Mark. His little new band, Sons of Apollo, comes on.
Man, this was like, for me,
this shit was crazy.
I don't think I deserve to watch this.
Like, me and Kyle said, like, you know, Voyager was crazy the other night. But, like, that was mainstream normie shit compared to tonight. Sons of Apollo runs the gamut from prog metal to, like...
This was ultra prog.
To, like, jazz, to, like, early 70s gospel music.
Dude,
to
this was in real prog.
This was a real masterclass. Jesus. A real prog. It was more rock than metal, you can say, but it was hard.
It goes back to... It's got groove rock. Van Halen.
I told you all.
It had bits of like really heavy, groovy metal.
Told you when James LaBrie was canceled and these guys helped him, it was like, yes.
I honestly forgot who the original headliner was.
I feel like they gave a little bit of a snark towards it. Like, well, instead of your regular schedule,
you're stuck with us. You insist.
But yeah, these guys, I knew nothing about Sons of Apollo.
Same. I knew Darko liked them.
Mostly, like, everyone, it's a super group, like a super, super group. Everyone there was just, I knew it would be great just knowing the names that were in there. I hadn't listened to the album before the show, honestly. And I knew they were great.
So those members are some of the very few that can, because they've all worked together in some form, that they know each other well, and they've all done super groups together before that are usually pretty good. Like, even at their worst, they're still entertaining. So them being together.
So let's dig into it. What made them so good?
The opening track was the most fun I've had all week.
Really?
Yes.
Every song felt unique.
Was that the opening? Every
member shined.
Yeah.
No one overshadowed themselves, each other, even though they were all extremely good.
They showed off so much.
Yeah, they are all the best.
The absolute best with the vocalist harmonizing with his own echoes.
That was sick.
Because that means he's doing those, like, he's doing the repetitive lines and doing them at the exact time that his echo is replaying. So
I'm matching the actual pitches that he needs to match.
Not just the pitches, but the timing, those two together, that's insane.
Yeah. So everyone got extended solos. Everyone. Five.
Like,
that's just like that.
If you never had a vocalist do a solo on you, like, this was like a great example of like what you call, this is a true vocalist, this is a true master
He's doing something very unique to show off his talent. Like, I've never seen someone try to do that.
Oh, I've seen it quite some time.
This shit was batshit, yo.
And all the stage presence from every single member.
Yeah.
They engaged the audience.
Yeah, they are like...
More than any other band. Yeah, we'll get to that.
We remember that in other bands.
Yeah, they do it a lot.
Like, these guys are... In the other bands that we've seen, that we've said that they had great stage presence... We've talked a lot about the vocalist engaging with the audience and
Child's Play characters.
Everyone engaged with the audience.
Each one of them was a frontman, basically.
The guitarist guy. Who was he?
Bumblefoot.
Him.
He's just...
Me, Pizzo, and Forgates were on the left side of the audience. We were on stage right, and there's this motherfucker with like a Viking helmet on. The guitarist notices the Viking helmet and he's like, wow, that's really cool. He's like, you. And he's like pointing really aggressively.
Wait, that's where he got it from the audience?
Yeah, just some rando.
I thought he got it off stage.
No, he was just like really aggressively pointing at this guy. And he's like,
it's getting better.
And he's like, yeah. He's like,
oh man, we didn't see that. So
the miming doesn't really work.
He was like pointing at the dude's hat and pointing at him and pointing at his head, pointing at the dude's hat, back at him, you know, like obviously motioning to give him the hat. If he's chill with it. Because he was like definitely doing the if you're chill with it, like hands up sort of thing. So the dude was obviously like, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I'm chill with that.
So then he had a rando's hat, rando's like Viking hat from the audience.
I made a comment to Ben he had much bigger horns than the Bloodbound guy. With his baby horns.
Oh, also, everyone had double neck instruments.
Yeah, let's talk about the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys come out on stage before playing any music, and the guitarist has a double neck guitar with that lights up on the side. Oh. Then the bassist comes out with a double neck bass.
No, yeah.
The guitar also, it had one of the necks, it was a fretless.
Correct.
I was confused.
And
I noticed
they were and they had lights.
Oh, yeah,
on
it was really smooth.
And they had lights.
Yeah.
So
smoothest, there's no frets on it.
This,
yeah,
is, yeah. This is my turf here.
Okay,
let's
instrument nerd.
Let's go. So,
no frets mean?
Bumblefoot's guitar is a double neck, and he has probably he had the same tuning in both necks, six strings. He had a regular fretted neck and a fretless neck, which is a whole metal fingerboard. The frets, for those of you know, are the little metal lines on a guitar. But when you press on them and when you remove those, you no longer have like the notes delimited by them. So you can press a pitch anywhere.
Oh.
Like a violin.
You're
like
going from discrete to continuous.
That's ultra prime.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is something.
Yeah, you're making up notes at that point.
You can. You can play
notes.
Quarter tones or eight notes or whatever.
You're playing shit
you
that
want.
No one's ever written
down. Yeah, you can divide semitones in whatever you want, and you can do crazy sliding, which is what mostly he did. And the precision with which he handled that instrument was unbelievable. Top notch. The best.
When they came out with this hardware, I'm like, okay, these guys are compensating. They gotta really bring it to not look like jackasses.
Yeah.
And my
so,
god.
More hardware. Portnoy obviously brought his own drum kit.
Yeah.
Crazy drum kit.
So far
didn't use the Prog Power drum kit. It was his own.
Yeah, so far most of the bands have been using the house kit. Angra brought their own drum kit.
I didn't notice.
And Mike brought his own drum kit, as
I believe he had metal sticks.
He's always has his
he
own
would
drum
never
kit.
Play
yeah.
with a standard drum
yeah
kit.
He wouldn't like not at all.
I believe he had metal sticks. They looked very shiny.
There were a lot of times I noticed when he was flipping them he would catch it the other way and he would just play with
yeah
it.
He would play
with
yeah.
the
oh, oh so one thing
until
you might
you
not
get
know
a chance to
but
flip
he does
it
that
around
a lot. Yeah, no, one thing that you might not know is that Mike Portnoy if you know a drumstick, it has like an end that ends
it has
in
the
a
tapered
tape.
End and the fat
yeah,
end
exactly. But when you're playing a snare, especially in metal or hard rock, you want to really hit that snare. And you want to make it like pound it.
Oh,
and one way to do that,
end.
You got two fat ends. So Mike's sticks are for his left hand, he brings sticks with tips, and for his right hand, he grabs sticks with tips on them, and for his left hand, just fat ends on both.
Oh.
So it doesn't matter.
But the thing, the one on his left though, there was a white end on one side.
Maybe
and he was
color.
Switching between the two.
Maybe he has...
Maybe he was trying to show off.
No, he probably has a nylon tip for cymbals. Because
so
he didn't wood on the
cymbals.
But
did.
Even then,
yeah.
he was still doing that on the cymbals too. Like, sometimes he would catch it like on
yeah.
his... Like between his pinky and his ring finger.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of...
He would look at it for a
yeah,
second
he
pointedly.
He likes doing all the
yeah, he would
yeah.
like pointedly look at it and go like, fuck
but
it.
I thought it was really funny because
yeah.
like you would constantly be doing that and changing.
Yeah,
it
he does that all the time. He does that all the
I
time, especially.
And, until he had like the opportunity to spin it around like a drummer does to get it.
Yeah,
I think he
dropped like six sticks.
Yeah, I saw him.
There are a lot of flying sticks.
But
he was throwing his sticks like 30 feet.
He didn't miss a single beat, that's the thing.
Yeah.
He knows exactly when to do it.
Yeah, when he drops a stick, he can play everything else with one hand while he gets a stick with the other.
He had an assistant. Like, he was the only person with a dedicated assistant.
No,
because he has someone
yeah.
just to spin the microphone.
Oh, is that all
that's
was?
All. Or,
no, he has a button to like swing it to him and then
he knocks it away himself.
And then
yeah.
there's people
the
obviously yeah.
But that's just a stage hand.
Yeah, they're
oh,
but everyone has actually their own takes. Just the mics are the ones that have to go into the stage and you see them, but Billy Sheehan's take is always there on the side to catch his bass and set it and say make sure that everything's in tune and everything's connected and working. And Bumblefoot's take, I'm sure, was on the other side of the stage which you couldn't see.
And keyboardist.
Keyboardist Derek Sheridan. Oh,
this dude.
He
was a monster.
He had a straight up.
He had a Hammond.
Wooden Hammond organ.
That's
straight
that's
up
what
real.
You know. We're doing prog, right?
Ultra prog.
When you have a Hammond organ, well, with a real Leslie Hammond, speaker not, connected to a freaking Marshall amplifier.
Not just like a
just
keyboard.
Like your Lord intended.
Not just a keyboard with Hammonds, but like a real Hammond, and he had like 80 fucking amps surrounding him.
And a couple more keyboards.
And then he had another keyboard and another keyboard.
Yeah, so two keyboards, two Geddens, and a Hammond organ. And he did like the longest fucking solo, and I was okay with it.
Dude, he took us to church.
Oh, wait, is that?
The guest is arriving.
I'm just gonna get the door.
This might be a whole party for Leon. This might be Chris Bose. This is Bobby Leon.
Yeah, this motherfucker took us to church like 8 times.
Is super locked right now? Hurry up.
We're doing the podcast.
We're recording, Ben.
Okay, just special arrival.
Okay, so we're talking.
Okay. We just talked about drums, so we can backtrack, actually, because Ben's a drummer.
So now we have more drummers in the room.
Talk about
Portnoy for a bit.
I was sitting here.
Portnoy?
Yeah, man, so we mentioned Derek Sheridan's solo right now and everything that he did. That Hammond, man, that was intense. We have Billy Sheehan. Like, the one of the best rock metal bass players ever.
I've never been so enraptured by bass playing in my life.
Exactly.
I never will be again.
I've always loved bass playing, but that's my dad's bass players. But I've always enjoyed it, and I do love it when I can see it shine. And that was, it was not a shining moment, it was a supernova moment.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Because that's just, the amount of fingerwork he was doing, it was almost...
He was very clearly picking with everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
all 10 fingers.
All 10 digits. It's insane.
It was...
Yeah.
I know if my dad had been there, he would have gone nuts. But that was... I was watching that, like, holy crap. And I didn't... I only thought it would be, like, 15 seconds or 30 seconds. How... End up being like, what, 2 minutes or 3 minutes?
It's like a full song. Whenever he does his solos, it's basically just a full song. He did it today as well, but he's been changing it up. He usually plays some Bach stuff as part of his main bass solo. He did some new stuff, like the harmonics part was really something new that was great. When he was playing the bass and he's saying like beep, 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 super high pitch. I don't know how best to explain it to you, but
that was weird.
Being someone that plays bass, I've actually heard
a very similar sound on the Alkaloid does something like that. It's a prog death band with it sounds like really high picking.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It sounds like it would actually be a guitar doing
exactly.
It, but it's not.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. You don't need a guitar to go high.
Yeah, because I was listening, I'm like, That sounds like a guitar, not a bass. So that just
and it's really quick too. It's a really quick set, really short sound.
Yeah, correctly, exactly. Those are harmonics, natural and artificial harmonics on the strings on the bass guitar.
My hands are cramping watching.
Yeah, like this dude is a monster. Fun thing you may know, like more like fact about it is like there's these magazines like Bass Guitar Magazine and others, and he's basically ranked the best rock bass player every year since those magazines exist.
I don't doubt
those rankings. Maybe some Geddy Lee, sometimes Geddy Lee gets in front of him because it's Geddy Lee, but
because he is the best.
Yeah.
As the man wearing the rush shirt says.
Yeah.
His third rush shirt.
It's only number
second.
Two.
Yeah, three was the. He wasn't allowed to wear three.
Is three tomorrow?
If you wear three,
two.
You have to buy
only brought two.
Well, one thing that I missed in this show is like Billy didn't have a microphone for himself, so he didn't take part of the on the harmonies. But I guess he doesn't do it in every band. And as usual, I could talk for like 1 hour on his gear alone because it's just great. But I don't gotta bore you with that.
So we already talked about all of their solos.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So we talked about this a bit earlier. Their solos were very much like musicians showing off to other musicians.
Not that much. Just
it was still a show.
A tiny bit.
Yeah. But like
half self-indulgence.
Yeah. I would say,
but I think as a non-musician with very, 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 very little musical background, they went on a little bit long.
You are a vocalist now, though.
Yeah. We'll get some
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Surprise business.
But I think they went on a little bit long. I think, you know, when you're playing a show and you're giving everyone, like, their own bit, right? You can drop the jazz audience three times before they kind of get done with it. Right? Like, my jaw dropped, and then it dropped further, and then it was on the ground, and then I'm like, oh.
Sore.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, this is too much. Now I'm just going to, like, rein it back. And just kind of be, like, in awe, but not in shock.
But all of the songs they played...
They were all phenomenal.
...were really engaging, and they weren't wankery.
I think
they were
actual
songs.
I think it means just for the
solos.
Yeah,
I know, just for the solos.
Yeah, just for the solos. I think it kind of messed with the flow of the show. They just went on a little bit long as a non-musician. I'm sure as a musician, I would have appreciated the entire thing for what
it
was.
I know
it is. Yeah.
I admit the flow of the show was weird, but I just kind of went with it because I was enjoying it so much.
It's the prog. Everything's weird.
Three sticks.
All's prog.
Exactly. We mentioned that. Yeah. Oh, man.
So then they finished all the solos.
And they did some more songs. After that. And then, so we get to the encore stuff?
Yeah, so we took to
just about... I think we can skip to the encore stuff.
It's getting late.
Yeah. I don't know how long we've been.
Over an hour, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
It's 4 o'clock.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we're getting to the encore.
Anyway, encore. Yeah. So encore. They're off stage. It's dark. You know, people are asking for the encore. The guitarist comes back on stage. He's doing his thing. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the vocalist is in the back of the crowd in the seats, and he's just chilling with some dude. And he's like, yo, we're going to play Van Halen. And then they
no,
do.
No, it's better. He's like, yo, this show's great. I love watching this. Play Van Halen.
And so they do. And like he's mingling with the crowd while doing Van Halen.
Yeah.
Speaking of mingling with the crowd.
No. What song did he sing?
The Cradle of Rock.
Cradle of Rock, Van Halen. And he's walking through the crowd, singing Cradle of Rock with the crowd. Comes up to this dude. First chorus. And some rando dude in the crowd sings the first chorus, or he's like the meat of it. And then he's like mingling through the crowd. He's mingling through the crowd.
Who's he go to next?
He's like high-fiving people, whatever. And at this point, like about, I don't know, 45 minutes ago, I went out, got some water, came back in and sat down. And I was like looking at Darko and Zelda and whatnot, trying to like find a time when there weren't people tighter on them to go back down. Hadn't come up yet. So I'm just sitting on like the stairwell, or on the first seat off of the stairwell, and then this motherfucker comes right up to me. So I grab his hand. I'm like, fuck yeah, and then he puts the microphone in my face for the next chorus. And I'm like,
so the biscuit happened.
I don't really know Van Halen,
star,
but I was paying
show.
Attention a second ago. So yeah, that was interesting. I really hope there was a picture.
At least we got some of that.
There's got to be
some. Well, there were a lot of photographers. There was one behind me taking photos.
I assume one of the show photographers took a picture. I'll have to look later.
We'll find something. We'll dig.
And immediately after that, I look up.
Yeah.
And then Darko, Zelda, and Ben were like looking up, and it took them a second.
Yeah.
Took them a second. They're like, oh, that's fucking Larry. And then I'm like, yeah, it's fucking Larry.
I didn't know where the fuck you were.
Yeah.
Like we knew it was you because the dude was. We were following the singer, and he just sat there next to the demon bitch guy.
Yeah,
so like yo,
that was cool.
That's the biscuit, right?
That was
there.
Interesting. So I
part
sang.
Of the show.
I sang Cradle of Rock,
dude. Biscuit Fest.
How bad did I sound? How bad was my voice?
It was. I mean, you could. It was just the crowd.
How hoarse was I?
It was like one word.
I don't know.
Yeah. So,
you
really
just did your thing.
Who knows? It was fun. It was very unexpected.
That's going to be your moment of the show.
It's like never happened to me before.
His musical career is off to a great start.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to get signed.
We have musical credibility now.
We do.
You can sing for Hailstorm.
Oh. Chris Bose, you're probably not listening, but maybe you are to get a day 3
There's
recap.
No way he made it this deep.
Hit me up.
Oh, God.
don't think anyone made it this deep.
I'll hit you up, actually.
If you made it this deep, comment, I made it this deep.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Oh, boy.
I made it this deep. The word hashtag.
The yeah. word, yeah. So that you, we know that you actually
yeah.
so
made it. Yeah, I'm in a band now. I was in Sons of Apollo briefly.
Lead vocal
special guest.
Yeah, I was briefly in Sons of Apollo.
Yeah.
No, you'd be Larry the Beast.
And I left on good terms.
It was insane.
We left on good terms. It was amicable.
You're going to come back with a reunion tour.
Yeah. we were just from the start, I was looking forward to hanging out with them if they stayed for the after party, but they had to catch a flight to Japan like 3 a.m., so they probably are already at the airport.
I'm honestly amazed they played that last encore song.
Oh, well, as I said, like, so they were a late addition to the festival because James Lovery canceled, and they just made the show work and just played this little show before flying to somewhere else.
Yeah,
and
so
it was the,
when did the show end? Like 12:30?
Like, it was like 1:15.
Yeah.
And they had to be on a plane. They had to be on a plane at 4.
Yeah.
Which means they had to be...
I said they had to get up at 3.
It's probably a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But still.
Because it's an
they
international
still have to pack
flight.
Up all... They still
they
have
to
all their shit packed
tear
up.
Down the whole...
Yeah.
The whole, like, they have the two Marshall amplifiers, the
they got to pack up all of their musical equipment.
Everything.
Oh, important.
They are not
asleep.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they have to go pack up all of their personal stuff and then get everything into the fucking... plural vans, I assume.
So they're just heroes. That's what
luckily for them, they'll be able to sleep on the flight there, hopefully.
These guys
are
long flight.
Yeah, it's 13 hours.
Thanks, James. I'm really enjoying that Dream Theater CD that just came out. Yeah.
Oof. So anyway, these guys are legends. This was a magical show. I'm so glad.
And this was like a fucking one night only show too. Like this is never gonna happen again.
In America for a while.
Yeah,
like,
because
no, this particular show. Never gonna happen again.
Right.
Because
well,
won't
yeah, you're not gonna
there.
Be there.
Yeah.
You're not I'm not gonna be there. Yeah. First of all,
okay.
I've left the band.
Thoughts of the whole day.
I think this is the strongest day by far.
Yeah. For me, it was the strongest day so far.
This is my first day, so obviously it's gonna be automatically be my strongest day.
With Angra and then this, I don't know
yeah.
how Taria can possibly like say call herself a headliner.
Honestly,
yeah. No.
I don't think she's going to be able to.
I think Aelstrom's going to steal the show tomorrow night.
I don't know.
I think there's very little that will top that, other than personal favorites type of thing.
I think Aelstrom is going to steal the show and get like a 20-minute encore and basically play a 2-hour set.
Having had no exposure to Sons of Apollo before this and then being this blown away, I don't think anything can come remotely close to
that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Other than being drunk during Aelstrom. Which is a different kind of pleasure.
That's just a
raw party.
Yeah, like I'm so hyped for that. Like I drank a decent amount the first day. I drank there's only like a couple beers the last couple of days, but with day 4 coming up, I think we might be dropping that bar tab again.
Rum, awesome.
No, flight's early. Flight's at 10.
Wait, my flight's later,
dude. Weren't you like in Sons of Apollo? You can't pull it off.
Oh, it wasn't Sons of Apollo. You're right. I gotta live up to my bandmates.
Yeah.
They're staying up all night.
They can't be the only ones to go through this.
Yeah. I got solidarity.
Don't be selfish.
Solidarity with Portnoy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be like blackout drunk. I'll just be more drunk than 2 beers.
You'll be what I was.
So 3.
I don't know. We'll see. It's somewhere between 3 and 10.
It'll be Uber Day.
So.
We have
less than
Ben.
Yeah,
we can pregame. Yeah.
Yeah, quite a few left there.
Well, so that was Friday.
It was insane.
It happened.
Now it's Saturday.
Great. Well,
it's 4:06 on Saturday.
So
show starts in 10 hours.
Something like that. We'll meet again for the next review on the final day.
Thanks for tuning into our ramblings.
No, because it's not just the final day. It's just the final day of Prog
Power. Yeah, only of the final day of Prog Power because
it's not the final episode of 14.
Of Raw Power.
Yeah. Of Raw Power. This is Raw Power. We didn't mention it before, but it is.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
This is the.
We're just now getting around to it.
Yeah.
By the way.
Welcome to episode 14, the super special Power Metal special
Raw
Power.
No editing.
straight from our mouths to your ears. No editing.
Shitty phone mics.
No preservatives.
From our ears to your mouths.
So we got two more. We got day four, and then we got pumpkins.
The pumpkins was united again.
And maybe an extra 30-second review from us later.
Yeah.
Stay powerful, everyone.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.